From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. Next Tuesday, President Obama is giving his State of the Union address, and we're all wondering, is he going to talk about unemployment? Does he have a plan to create jobs? At the Democratic Convention, he gave us a hint into his thinking.
We can create a million new manufacturing jobs in the next 4 years. You can make that happen.
With me, WNYC contributors Jonah Sarah with the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. And Rana, is manufacturing really coming back to the United States?
Well, it is coming back. And in fact, I'm working on a big story, upcoming story in Time about this called Made in America. It depends on what you call manufacturing, though. So manufacturing is only 9% of employment in the U.S., but that only counts factory jobs, floor jobs. It wouldn't count things like the marketing department at Ford. It wouldn't count things like industrial design that's being done for Caterpillar by outside firms. So there is a little bit of lies, and statistics there. And when President Obama is talking about a million new jobs, he may be talking about a much broader universe than what we think of as traditional manufacturing. The thing is, we are wondering how far that can go. There are a lot of dynamics bringing jobs back, or in some cases, creating entirely new jobs here. I spent a day last week up at GE in Schenectady, and I saw an amazing new factory that they have, huge factory, the kind of floor that you would have had thousands of people on in the past. Now there are only a few hundred, and there's one guy running it with an iPad. So it's manufacturing's back, but it's not your grandfather's manufacturing.
Well, Joe, that's the question I have, which is that we're not really talking about assembly jobs here, are we? That working on an assembly line, building a car.
No, those jobs are gone, and they are never coming back. And manufacturing jobs now require a fair amount of education, a fair amount of intelligence, and a real skill set. You know, I've been out and about looking at manufacturing jobs as well, and I've seen factory floors that are huge and have 100 workers, but I've also noticed that the companies like Caterpillar and Siemens affiliate with a local community college because they need trained workers. And, you know, can we bring back a million jobs? Probably not. But manufacturing output is still pretty high, and there's a lot more productivity, which in many ways is a good thing, but it's not bringing back the jobs that we need brought back.
Well, I think that that's a key point, too. Manufacturing has an amazing knock-on effect in the economy. So for every dollar of value created in manufacturing, there's $1.50 created in the rest of the economy. It's only 9% of employment, but it represents 67% of research and development spending. And the jobs that are being created are very upscale. So again, going back to GE, they've got 400 new positions in Silicon Valley for PhDs, for data crunching, for the kind of folks that would have been building complex models for financial firms in the past. So these are very, very high-end jobs.
There's another dynamic going on here as well, and that is that the labor force in China is changing dramatically, and that is also helping bring manufacturing back to the United States. And so the attraction of moving to China for a lower labor cost is starting to disappear. And the attraction in the U.S. of logistics and supply and various other things is becoming more appealing.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking a lot about PhDs, people who have really high educations who might be able to get jobs in the manufacturing sector. I mean, what are we going to do about people who are low-skilled workers who may not have a lot of education? Where are they going to find a job?
Well, first of all, it's not all PhDs. I mean, we're talking about people who come out of high school and then get training in a community college for a year or two. That's what a lot of those jobs are. But the larger answer is it's not going to come necessarily from manufacturing. The jobs of the future are going to be in places that we don't know, but they will almost surely be service jobs.
I think Joe's right. We don't know quite where the jobs are going to come from. And there's an argument to be made that this manufacturing renaissance may actually not fix our unemployment problems and may, in fact, in the short term, bifurcate the labor market further. So you'll get some PhDs and some very cheap factory workers. I'm seeing a lot of companies that are hiring plenty of people on the line, but it's because they've busted unions. These people are getting $15 an hour. They're getting half of what they might have. No pension, no health care.
We keep hearing talk about, oh, we're in a new normal. Things are different now about the economy. But I'm sort of wondering, when we look at automation, if that's the new normal, that things are getting manufactured, that we don't actually need to have people manufacturing. I keep thinking of the movie WALL-E, where more and more people didn't do anything. Machines just did everything for us. Are we headed in that direction?
Well, some people would say we are. There's a very, very famous ebook called Race Against the Machine, written by a couple of people at MIT. You wouldn't think that they would be saying technology is going to destroy jobs, but they are. I think the the bottom line is it takes 2 to 5 years after every major technological shift for there to be that increase in jobs, and we're still waiting for that.
So final word, do you think we'll see 1 million manufacturing jobs created in the next 4 years, as the president says we can do?
If we change the definition of what manufacturing means, then yes. If not, no.
Joe?
Yeah, I don't think we'll have 1 million manufacturing jobs.
Well, finally, let's take a look ahead to some of the stories we're watching next week. Rana, what's on your radar screen?
So I'm thinking about currency wars. Currency wars, big deal in the markets right now. This is the idea that every country wants to keep its currency low, from Japan to the U.S. to perhaps Europe, because it helps companies to export and sell goods more easily, and it helps the major exporters in those countries, keeps their stocks up. We've already seen the yen start to go down. The U.S. dollar is falling. And the Europeans are getting very nervous. They may start participating in this race to the bottom as well. Now, that wouldn't be great for the global economy, but it does create a short-term opportunity because Japanese companies, and particularly consumer goods exporters, are probably going to benefit from this in the short term, and their stocks are going to be up.
Does that mean that I can get that Sony computer cheaper? Or
might be time to think about the Sony stock.
Joe, what are you looking at?
The word on the street in Washington is that the new commerce secretary is going to be Penny Pritzker. Of the Pritzker family, which owns the Hyatt Hotel chain. She was probably the most important financial backer of President Obama in 2008. She more or less sat out this last campaign, but still managed to raise $500,000 for the president. But here's what I'm waiting for. When she's at her confirmation hearings, I hope somebody asks her, what exactly does the Commerce Department do, and why do we need it?
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, during the financial crisis, we heard a lot from the Treasury Secretary, but not a lot from the Commerce Secretary about growing the economy. So what does the Commerce Department do?
Charlie, you just blew my punchline.
Oh. Well, we'll be watching those stories and that confirmation hearing if it happens, and all the week's financial news at wnyc.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast, available for free on iTunes. Jonah Sarah with The New York Times, Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.